That hymn is this prayer to go to Jerusalem. And when we talk about Jerusalem, we're really talking about to be gathered together as the Lord's church. I mean, for the people of the Old Testament, the Jerusalem was the center of worship. Jerusalem is where God promised to meet with them in the temple. But once Christ came, now Christ is the center. And so wherever Christ is, that's where we focus. And so he can be here. He can be downstate. He can be around the world. And we focus on him. But the hymn there, Jerusalem the Golden, gives us the sense of what it means to be gathered and to be drawn to the Lord. And to be gathered and drawn to him in worship, to be gathered and drawn to him at the second coming. When he comes again, this is our prayer that he will gather us. And so that's what we're looking at today, being gathered for the Advent ascending. To be gathered. Paul, in the letter to Romans that we heard today, he spoke of the people, the Roman Christians. He said they were called to belong to Jesus Christ. They were called to belong. It's a gathering of the people. Psalm 24, it's a song of people who are on their pilgrim journey up to the temple in Jerusalem. It is a song that gathers them to go on this journey together. So both of those readings involve gathering the people, gathering them to go before the Lord, that God has called us to himself, and he has called us into community, to ascend together, to walk together, to come before the Lord together. And so as we have gathered today, and we think about wanting to make sure that together we are prepared to celebrate the birth of Jesus, and prepared to celebrate his second coming, as we think about that, I want you to imagine the scene that is in Psalm 24. So if you look in your bulletins on page 8 with Psalm 24, I want to walk you through it, because Psalm 24 is one of those psalms that it's kind of like a liturgy. It's an order of worship. We can kind of guess who spoke what, and it helps us to see what was taking place. So the first couple of verses, that would have been the congregation preparing. They have not gone to Jerusalem yet. The group of people was gathered. This psalm seems to be about carrying the Ark of the Covenant up to the temple. The Ark is the golden box where they kept the tablets of the law, and it was the seat of God's presence. And so they're preparing. They're going to take this to the temple, and they're gathering up. And so as they're gathering up, they sing, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein, for he has founded upon the seas and established it upon the rivers." So the group, the camp, they're all breaking out in song, and then suddenly a priest stands up and gets attention. And soon everybody quiets down. Verse 3, "Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who will stand in his holy place?" He's asking the whole group, who is ready to go to the temple? Who's ready to go on this holy pilgrimage? Who's ready? And the congregation gives their answer, starting in verse 4. "He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully, he will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of God of Jacob." Now, there's a lot to unpack there. And at first blush, it might look like they're saying, well, you know, we are holy enough to do this, like we're pure enough. But that's not really what they're saying. They're saying that they are setting aside what else is going on in their lives. They're setting aside their own thoughts and agendas, and they're turning their attention to the Lord. And notice they are also saying that they will receive blessing and righteousness from God. So it is about receiving. And we could unpack that a lot more, but that's their answer. They're saying we are ready to set aside our daily lives, to set aside all of our disagreements and all those kinds of things. We're going to set all that aside. We're ready. And so they go. And they start heading up to Jerusalem. and they get up to Jerusalem, and whether it's at the gates of the city or the gates of the temple, either way, they get up there, and the whole group is there, and they say, "Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in." Now, they don't mean that they are the King of glory. They mean they've got the Ark of the Covenant. They're bringing the presence of the Lord to the temple. And so all the people are shouting to the gate and to the people at the gate, "Let us in. We've got the Ark of the Covenant. We've got the presence of the Lord." But there's a gatekeeper. Verse 8, "Who is this King of glory?" Now, you might be thinking, "Oh, come on. He knows who they are. Why is he stopping them?" But, I mean, this is kind of like what would take place anytime somebody approaches the city, right? The city gates are closed. Somebody says, "Let me in." And then, you know, who should I say I'm letting in? You know, like, you got to check, right? And so he says, "Who is this King of glory?" And they answer, "The Lord," and actually right there they're using the Hebrew name for God, "Yahweh, strong and mighty, Yahweh, mighty in battle." So they give this answer. And so then they say, "So, lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in." And the gatekeeper checks just one more time. "Who is it? Who's this King of glory?" And they say, "Yahweh of hosts, Yahweh of heavenly armies. He is the King of glory." And so there's this whole liturgy, this whole celebration as they come to the temple. But what I want you to think about is back to when they were getting ready. Back when they were getting ready to go on this pilgrimage, this journey. And think about what it took. You know, probably group, if you had hundreds of people, you probably had different groups kind of in charge of one another, getting ready, different family groups or tribes or whatever, getting ready, making sure you got everybody. And because just imagine if we all were just going to get up and go walking together and had some mission together, we'd probably want to get organized, make sure we have everybody, who's watching out for everybody, who's going to lead, who's going to be at the end. So I imagine that they were doing all this. And part of that probably would have been making sure that they knew each other's names. See how that ties in? Huh? So, but, you know, they would have organized this all together in order to go on this journey. And so they were checking in on each other. They were supporting one another as they went. They had to slow down to know each other before they go on this celebration journey. They had to slow down, just like we have to keep reminding ourselves to go slowly in Advent. And I'll give you a hint, even on Christmas Day, I'm going to say we need a slow Christmas. We need to slow down so that we know one another and encourage one another and walk with each other. We don't leave anybody behind. Nobody gets lost as we're going on this journey. And that's where we've been headed. In each row, there is a folder with some papers in it. And I'd like you to take one each, pass them down. There might not be enough for your row, but please share. If you have extras, look around and see if somebody needs them. And I want you to get to the side that's got the color picture on it that says Slow Church. And this is the part where, you know, like I'm the leader trying to organize the group, and somebody's going to grumble, "Man, he's, you know, gave us an orange handout, now he's giving us another handout." Just trust me. Go along with it, right? So this whole series has been inspired by a book called Slow Church. As fast food is to food, slow church is to slow food. To slow down and really enjoy and have that experience. But fast church is busy, controlling, aggressive, hurried, analytical, stressed, superficial, impatient. It's active, but it's quantity over quality. Let's just hurry up and do a lot of things. Slow church is calm. Careful. Do we really have everyone? Before we start on the journey, do we have everyone? It's receptive. Where's the Lord leading us? Let's take a minute to be still. It's intuitive. It's unhurried. It's patient. Let's just wait a moment. We've got you know, a few people still in the restroom before we can start on our journey, right? Just be patient, right? It's reflective. It's quality over quantity. We may not get an opportunity to go up to the temple every year, but we're going to make this one quality. We're going to focus on what the Lord is teaching us, and we're going to make meaningful connections along the way. That's slow church. And that is slow Advent. And that is what I imagine in the camps, the people gathering before they go up to the temple. Go on the back page. I found this quote because it's in the book Slow Church. But what it is, it's part of the vows of the nuns at the Our Lady of the Mississippi Abbey in Dubuque, Iowa. And while this doesn't perfectly apply to us because we're not pledging and vowing to be in a closed community away from the world, there's still something in this spirit that I love. We vow to remain all our life with our local community. We live together, pray together, work together, relax together. We give up the temptation to move from place to place in search of an ideal situation. Ultimately, there is no escape from oneself, and the idea that things would be better someplace else is usually an illusion. And when interpersonal conflicts arise, we have a great incentive to work things out and restore peace. This means learning the practices of love, acknowledging one's own offensive behavior, giving up one's preferences, forgiving. Now, as a church, we're never going to say, like, you know, that we're all vowing to stay in this local community all our lives, but the spirit here is what's beautiful. And that, I think, might be part of the spirit of the community as they gathered to go up to Jerusalem. They said, we are going to do this together. It won't do for just a few of us to go. We are going to bring everyone to go up and celebrate the King of Glory. We're going to pray together, work together, relax together. We're going to get through all of this together. Because here's the other thing I was thinking about as I was imagining that scene. And I'm going to come back to this vow here. But as I was imagining that scene of the people gathering to go to Jerusalem, and we kind of have this idea, wow, they were on this holy pilgrimage and the Ark of the Covenant and this beautiful thing. But you know what? They're people just like us. They were people just like us. And so as they gathered hundreds of people to get ready to go to Jerusalem, I imagine that there were some people who weren't as cooperative, who weren't pulling their weight, they weren't as helpful. There were some people who were not quite as patient, who weren't considerate. And as they gather for procession, all those things are coming together, right? They're people just like us. And some people were poor leaders. They were too pushy, or they were too self-centered, or they were lacking enthusiasm about what they were doing. And still, there were others in the group who didn't feel like they belonged, or they felt like they didn't deserve to be there. And so you've got all this going on, and it's important to remember all of that, because as you see Psalm 24, you imagine that everybody is just like, who's this King of Glory, and we're there, and everything. But there are a group of hundreds of people who have all their challenges and interpersonal conflicts and everything, but they have vowed to do this together, like the nuns are saying. They vowed to do this together, to walk with each other. And so they're no different than us as a congregation. Who are the ones who can ascend the hill of the Lord? They're the ones who acknowledge their own offensive behavior, who give up their preferences, who forgive, who encourage others to vow to remain with the group and watch out for the rest of the group. And then once gathered, once they've made that promise and they start to move forward, then the focus is on the Lord, the King of Glory, strong and mighty, mighty in battle. We are gathered like that. The Holy Spirit working God's love and grace and forgiveness in us through his Son, so that we may proceed as a community. And when we walk together, when we go up through Advent together, then we together focus on the King, born for us in Bethlehem, and the King who will come again for us. It's what Paul was writing to the Roman Christians also. Paul had not met the Roman Christians yet, and he wanted to teach them in this letter. But first, in these first verses, this greeting to them, he affirms that they belong. They aren't at the center of the way of Jesus. They aren't in Jerusalem. They're in Rome. But they are called to belong to Jesus. That's what Paul says. You are called to belong to Jesus. We are together in Jesus. And what it means is that Paul slowed down to make sure they knew they belonged, they were gathered, they were assembled together with other believers. And once he had them knowing that, then together they could rejoice in the King of Glory. So let's slow down again today, this slow Advent. Learn some more names before you leave today. Gather up the people, that's what we've been doing, who are ready to ascend the holy hill. We're ready because we're vowing to remain committed to one another and vowing to admit our weaknesses and forgive one another as we journey towards Bethlehem and fits and starts. That is what we've been gathered for today. That's what Psalm 24 gives us a vision of, and it's what a vision is for us as a congregation. I want to end with a paraphrase of a section of Psalm 24. James Montgomery, around the beginning of the 19th century, wrote a hymn based on Psalm 24. And just listen to this. He says, "Then fear not, faint not, halt not now. In Jesus' name be strong. To him shall all the nations bow and sing the triumph song." I love that first part. Fear not, faint not, halt not now. Don't be afraid. Don't faint. You know, get weak. Don't stop now. In Jesus' name be strong. You are gathered together by him. You belong together in Jesus. Do not be afraid. Don't hold back. Don't stop now. Let's move forward together on this Advent ascending to go and celebrate the King and wait for the King together. So in Jesus' name be strong. To him shall all the nations bow, and we shall sing the triumph song. Amen.